for you.
So you're in Falcon?
Yesterday.
No, for your camp.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah.
How was it that night, please? Oh, nice, on that one. The missus enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a fan, you were saying.
Yeah. Supposed to be tonight. They canceled, changed it to Monday.
Oh?
That's on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's last minute.
Still sold out though.
Yeah.
It was an hour later, eh?
Walter.
It was 1 hour later.
Oh, it was at 27. That would've been easier.
Oh,
yeah, that's right, because I wanted to mention the out here. All right, it is 1 o'clock. We will call the meeting to order. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda, or do we have any additions or deletions?
If I may please add new business 4, which is Brandon Neighborhood Renewal Corporation, Rural and Remote Stream Call for Nominations. Although it's a late addition, I just thought maybe we could table it and have some suggestions possibly for the next meeting, so that's why I just added it on.
Okay, anything else? No. Can we have a mover for that, please?
Stead.
Agenda?
Stead.
Seconder?
Stead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Everyone had a chance to look at the minutes. Can we have a mover for the minutes, please?
Monkey.
Seconder?
McDougald.
All in favor?
All right.
Payment of accounts. Can we have a mover?
McDougald.
Seconder?
Monkey.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Get a mover and a seconder for the 2 paychecks.
Stead.
Who's moving, sir?
Stead.
Stead. Stead. Stead. All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Thank you.
And you'll have to go. There's a fire department check.
Oh, what am I doing? You can do this.
Can we have a mover for that, please?
Okay.
Seconder?
There.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Should we get
up there? We have a mover for the financial statements, please?
Okay.
Seconder?
McDougald?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Public Works update. That's in the package, right?
Yep, that's all there. Colleen, can we bring that resolution up, please?
Certainly. Would you like me to read
Yeah, please.
This is the resolution in regards to the fire hydrants. Whereas council has received a quote of $95,479.22 plus applicable taxes for the installation of water hydrants. And whereas the water utility reserve was established to fund water utility projects, now therefore be it resolved that as per section 1697 of the Municipal Act, this expenditure be funded by a transfer from the water utility reserve.
Can we have a mover? Pardon?
I will make that motion.
Seconder?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then the rest of Public Works, we can, if there's anything, bring it up in the reported committees. Utility report again is in the package. Activity report is in the package. Reports of committees. Anybody, Councilor McDougall?
No, nothing for me.
For me, CDC this month will be in.
Somebody wanna come in?
So CDC.
Yeah, so we'll be having our meeting this month in Seven Sisters on the 22nd. And we've been moving forward with doing our map signs and our town sign. Everything's moving ahead good. That's all I have to report right now.
Thank you.
Councilor Honkey?
In regards to the waste management and that we advertised for a manager for the waste management facility. We have somebody that has accepted that position, but we haven't taken that. We're taking that to the board tomorrow, so that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, good. I don't have any.
Thank you. We do have a delegation that will be attending at 1:30.
Okay, so we'll carry on until they get here. It's only 1:05. Eastmont Tourism, introducing new executive director, Noel Lindsay. So you got that in your package, and that's taking over Penny's or Jenny's job.
Yep.
You know, you're on.
Yeah, I just have met him through Zoom meetings that we had. We've got a meeting coming up in the next couple weeks where we're all going to get together and do an official meet and greet. But it seems everything's moving along fine. He's taken over the job very well. So.
Good. Number two, Association of Manitoba Municipalities via Highway Traffic Act Amendment for driving on closed road. It's in the package, and it basically means if a road is closed and you drive on it, you're getting a fine. If it's closed, it's closed.
Sounds reasonable.
They don't have, the province hasn't got the resources. But this all boils down to where the big storms are in the city and stuff. They close the highways down. You can't see anything. And all of a sudden they get a call and they got to send all their emergency vehicles out because there's 10 people stranded. That's what that's about.
If I could please just back up for a resolution for your activity coordinator to accept the resignation, please.
Oh, yes, sorry. Can we have a mover to accept that, please?
Thank you.
Seconder?
Stead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry about that.
No.
Number three.
Number three, Community Futures Winnipeg River, change rural forum date to October 23rd. Okay. Number four, Rural Municipality of Lac-Tabani, notice of public hearing bylaw 0823, just a notice. Number five, Manitoba Emergency Management Organization annual exercise report approved. That is our MEC report that Kathy Tobias has sent in. And it's been approved, right, Colleen?
Yes.
Number six, Margaret Arndt, resignation. Can we have a mover to move that resolution?
Thank you very much.
Seconder?
No.
Stead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Elections
Manitoba provincial election calls for October 3rd, 2023. Information, it's out there for everybody. Everybody knows the election is October the 3rd. campaigning is going on hot and heavy. Unfinished business, lagoon, land update ongoing, Colleen, what do we have?
Yes, so everything's been advertised, we're moving forward, and we do have a meeting with our Public Works and Utility in regarding this with the administration, just so that we can give you an updated report. We're meeting with Water Services.
White Wolf Childcare Pilot Project completed, grand opening was held September 10th on Sunday, was very successful, was a nice crowd. It's a great building to have for the RM, and hey, wish them, you know, wish the board and our project coordinator, whatever.
Executive Director.
Executive Director, all the success, and hope this thing goes on. We've got it filled to this point, and it'll continue. Great.
That looks good in there.
That looks very nice. Number three, Twin Rivers Church request to connect to municipal water. Responses are being received from phone calls and mailouts. I did have Larry Giesbrick contact me, and I forwarded that to Colleen, and I told him to contact Colleen. He just wanted to come in, and he has been out there talking to a lot of people and done a lot of groundwork,
I
think.
It's been a huge help.
And he just said he'd like to just come in and chat with us, and I told him, come into a council meeting. Set it up and call in. Okay, we can talk about where we're at. This is a huge project.
The responses have been coming back so well, just that they're getting back to us. Next meeting, we will have a new map for you of who is looking, that they would be looking towards the project.
On that note, when's our joint meeting with Reynolds?
Next Tuesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
19th at 5:30.
That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah, at 5:30 in our chambers.
In our chambers.
I have the draft agenda, so I can certainly get that out to you.
I have it marked.
Like.
Wow. Yes. That's yeah.
I was just chatting with CAO Kim this morning, just to make sure we both have everything that might have been mentioned from our councils today.
And that's with Reynolds and us.
Correct.
Very good. Thank you. Number four, insurance inquiry for Western Financial regarding fraudulent activity of CAOs.
So that was the additional information that came, and Charmaine, they did thank us for our patience with it. So now they've given us everything that they know, including a one-page sheet on cyber coverage, as well as summary of coverages. So I don't know what council would like to do with this information now. You do have everything that we are aware that could be shared.
We've certainly got everything. It was me that had questions about that, and I think we've got, I don't know if runaround is the right word, but certainly buried in paperwork from them as an answer. I took some initiative and phoned one of the municipalities, their mayor, to find out what the issue is, since I couldn't get the answer I was looking for. And I'd like to discuss that part in camera with you guys, because it's pretty interesting, and it's legal.
Excellent. So we'll refer to in camera, because you may be discussing something that would be free.
It's legal. Yeah.
Thank you.
Number five, Airbnb information. I read that whole package, so.
And so, yeah, so now we'll have your solicitor come to give you something at your next meeting in regards to that initiative. Then you'll be.
Number six, tax advice reserve bid response regarding liens on property and notice.
So now we have the response back, and actually awesome question that came in, because tax service even got a hold of their own solicitor to make sure they were answering it correctly. So they do have that the reserve bid amount can only be equivalent to all year's penalties and costs owing. So that's that part of it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting, my reading of that too, there was a concern that maybe one of the liens couldn't be removed, and
that's
if
right.
It's not, when it goes to land titles, it'll just get rejected. So we have a safety net there. My thought was proceed with the auction, and that's our...
It says that it cannot guarantee, but at least it's...
Yeah, it's pretty... It was a good reply from them.
So if it doesn't go, then it goes back.
It'll still be the owner's,
because
we couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So then, are we putting in it, then we're not putting in a reserve bid, is that correct? Or we are?
Well, the highest reserve we can put is what's owing.
Exactly, on the taxes, but I don't know if council wants that or not, being that it is.
It's not very high.
Yeah, it's up to you guys.
Does it make more sense? I know this sounds odd, because you're not collecting money owing, but to wait another year. And then your reserve bid is higher.
Not through our tax sale processes, we have to put it up for sale once it's 2 years outstanding.
Okay, then.
I'm sorry, it's a municipal act requirement.
No, that's.
I think we should just move on from it and put it for sale.
Put it up.
So no reserve bid, whatever happens, happens, thank you very much. Is that confirmed with everybody?
Yep, it is with me.
Thank you, there will be no reserve bid and we will advise tax service accordingly.
I'll let them do what they have to do. Number seven, bylaw enforcement officer personnel in camera. Number one, fire hydrants tenders, the resolution for that. So that's. Did we not just go through that?
Yeah.
Yes, but this is just to ensure that now we know where the applicable successful bidders were and that you have gone through the right process to achieve it.
Yeah, so.
So for the fire hydrant tenders first.
Mover for that, please.
Lonkey.
Seconder.
Stead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, is that, that is the same amount that we're moving from the reserve, right, the exact same amount?
You see, your amount is just a little bit different because this amount includes taxes.
Gotcha.
Whereas our reserve, our amount is solely the amount that came in on tender,
okay.
No taxes.
It's the taxes was the difference tonight.
Yeah, no, good eye. We want to make sure everything's exact. So now the next tender that was issued was for.
Water treatment plant lighting tender.
Lonkey.
Make the vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
So now, just recently we now got the J.R. Cousin Consultants former landfill and groundwater monitoring letter report. But because, again, it's a large report, I didn't want to just say, hey, guys, what do you think today? So if you could please just, we're going to table that and absorb that information, and I'll be looking for a direction at the next meeting if it suits council.
Yeah, I've read through that whole thing, Colleen, and it looks like, do we have to continue with that? Because it looks very, very good.
I believe, again, I just want to go with a fine-tooth comb. My at a quick glance, I think all three are fine, and one is still going to have to be monitored, but I want to be positive because we don't want to carry forward, you know, the $20,000.
That's what I'm getting at.
Incurred Kermit, so that's why we're trying to finish it off.
Okay, good. Number four, Brandon Neighborhood Renewal Corporation, rural and remote stream call for nominations.
So being that just came in, and it's a $90,000 possibility of a type of grant, I don't know what we could do with $90,000, but it still gives us a little bit of an idea, and I thought if we can take a peekaboo, if anybody's interested and wants me to apply for anything, my first round is October 6th, so if you give me it for your next meeting, I can still have time to do an application for it.
Okay, so do we have to have a certain thing that we need, or can it be for anything that we feel in the RM?
No, there's certain criteria.
Oh, there is certain criteria,
yeah,
okay.
That's why I thought, no, we better make sure we know what it is so that we don't, you know, we don't apply for something that wouldn't suit.
And when's it got to be in?
The first round is for October 6th, if there's anything council would like me to apply for. And there, it's still opened applications. There's no closing of the applications until March 31st of 2024. So if you don't have an idea here and something comes up later on, we'll certainly apply at that time.
I'm sure we'd have some kind of an idea.
Yeah, gives you just food for thought. Not that it's on our agenda because it was a smaller item, but there was a sunlight grant that we had read about. So that's in regards to soaps and, you know, sunlight products. So we sent that off to our rec departments and to Ms. Siddhar from the
hospital.
Health, yeah, and in case they ever wanted to come up with something, because they're offering $10,000 for any idea that they would, you know, so anything like we see like that, we're just sharing around so more people can apply.
So you said rec department, department or departments?
Every time we send anything out, we send to alphabetical order, Elma, Seven Sisters, and White Mouth Rec Centers.
Good. Thank you. Now we're good for the
delegation.
Delegation, which is not quite here, aren't they?
I haven't seen them yet.
It's 20 after, should be here right away.
Check, thank you, Zimmer.
You know what, I'm just gonna take one of these sheets out to the girls, and then I'm gonna tell them to please bring them in as soon as they can.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And all check settings, ready to proceed.
Now, I forwarded some slides that I've been working from.
Yes.
Everybody has every single page, thank you.
Okay, great. All right, well, just quickly introduce myself. My name's Grant Milnichuk. I'm with Manitoba Port Council, and I'm Manitoba Port's Director of Sustainable Development and Research, and I'd like to thank Council for providing me the opportunity to speak to you today. I'll go off script for a second here. My background is with municipal relations with the province, so I do recognize some familiar faces here. I know how busy Council meetings can be, and I know how often they run past the scheduled agenda time, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go fairly quickly through my slides here, just save some room for discussion, and hopefully allow you folks to get home when you're planning on getting home to today. So, but to start things off, I guess over the past three and a half, four years or so, Manitoba Pork has been making an effort of doing a little bit of a better job of stakeholder outreach. So be it with stakeholders within our sector or at various levels of government, provincial government, federal government. We're also doing municipal outreach, which is kind of why I'm here speaking with you folks today. And I think since probably it was before the pandemic started, but we are now up to roughly 40, 45 municipalities across the province that we've met with. And over the years, we've met with different councils with different topics that we were meeting with council about. A few years ago, it was about growth opportunities in certain parts of the province. More recently, it's been about just checking to see if there's any issues that our producers might have with council, or vice versa, that councils might have with our producers. But of late, we are hitting the road to raise awareness about our wild pig awareness campaign, Squeals on Pig MB. So that's the gist of it. That's why I'm here today. That's who I am. So just to kind of focus on the slides a little bit, brief introduction to who we are. We represent all commercial hog farms in the province. There are a little over 600 of them, including a handful here in the Arm of Whitemouth. We have a board of directors that represents different types of producers within the province, integrated producers, hutterites, and independent producers. And we're funded by a levy to deliver programs that will implement programming, including animal care, human resources training, environmental stewardship, etc. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the economic contribution of the sector. There's some facts and figures here. You folks So if anyone has any questions as I'm going through this, by all means, cut me off as well. I'm trying to make a dialogue here. Mm-hmm. A little bit about recent growth and opportunities for growth. Since 2017, there have been about 40 new barns or barn expansions approved across the province. It's, you know, roughly $200 million for the private investment. Much of this has occurred in Western Manitoba, so municipalities south of the Trans-Canada and west of Portage, roughly. And there is opportunity for additional sustainable growth, we feel, as well, in appropriate areas. Some of our key priority areas, sustainability, environmental stewardship is key. There's been a number of studies done in across the world, Europe, US, and in Canada, that have shown that the environmental footprint of our sector is decreasing significantly. We use less water, require less land, fewer greenhouse gas emissions. And air management is key. Some of you folks may remember the probably about 10 years ago or so, there's a Save Lake Winnipeg legislation was put forward, and as a result, it's implemented new regulations on when and how and under what circumstances livestock producers can apply manure to their crops or to their neighbors' crops. And as a result, Manitoba has like the strictest environmental regulations when it comes to manure management across the country. And frankly, it's a good thing. Manure these days, it's to be frank, in the 90s and 2000s, before I was in the early 2000s, before I was involved in the pork sector, manure was treated as a byproduct, kind of a waste product. Not the case anymore. It's definitely now viewed as a valuable organic fertilizer. All livestock operations have to prepare manure management plans, which involves soil testing with third-party agronomists, et cetera, et cetera. And now, over 90% of the manure in Manitoba is either injected or incorporated beneath the surface of the soil, which is the highest rate in the country. Animal care is key, of course. You know, there's a code of practice in place that all farmers are required to follow in order to market their animals at a federally inspected plant, which is either Nipoar or Brandon. Biosecurity. Biosecurity is probably a pretty good segue as to the main reason why I'm here in front of you today. All commercial hog farms follow strict biosecurity protocols, and this is to prevent the spread of production diseases such as PED, probably heard about that, or the worst case scenario, the introduction of a foreign animal disease such as African swine fever, which would effectively kill the Canadian export market. And it's essential that all producers, including small-scale operations, follow these strong biosecurity protocols to help prevent disease. And, slide on research there as well, talking about how much we contribute towards research to help look for continuous improvement when it comes to animal care or environmental stewardship or whatnot. And then the bulk of the slides, which includes a number of photos, are with respect to wild pig awareness. And I was hoping today to be joined by one of my colleagues who's a field technician who is an expert when it comes to wild pigs and where they're located and some of the damages they cause. Unfortunately, I'm flying solo today, so I'll walk through these slides without a co-pilot. But what are wild pigs? Well, they're Eurasian wild boar. They could be escaped domestic or pot-bellied pigs. They could be hybrids, whether it's something out in the wild that has mixed with an escaped pigs. Essentially, it's anything outside a fence. And Manitoba Pork, we retain the services of Dr. Wayne Lees. He's the former chief veterinary officer for the province of Manitoba, and he's coordinating our Squeal on Pigs campaign. And Dr. Lees, he refers to it as a One Health problem, which is because it's One Health because it affects animal health, it affects environmental health, as we'll see in some of the photos coming up, but it also has an impact on human health. And one of the challenges is because it touches so many different sectors, no one's really taken ownership of it as of yet. And we as in Manitoba Pork, with provincial government and other stakeholders, are trying to get a handle on this wild pig issue before it gets before it gets out of control, and it's getting close to that as we speak. So this slide here, wild pigs, what are they? Or wild pigs, so what? This is where Dr. Lees is good at kind of eloquently identifying how they came about. And I won't do it justice, but I'll give it my best shot here. But it was back in the 1980s or so when agriculture was in not the greatest shape, and governments of all levels, particularly the federal and provincial government, were looking for ways to, you know, help out rural Canada. And one of the flavors of the month was diversification. So producers in the prairies were encouraged to try new things. So wild boar was one of them. Emus, ostriches, llamas, you name it. The hope was that there'd be a market for all this new and interesting meat, exotic meat. Not really the case, apparently. And as a result, many folks that got into wild pigs, they got out of them. And some of them got out of them the easiest way possible. They just cut the fence and just kind of, you know, it's away they go, right? The thinking at the time was, well, you know, they'll never survive winter, which obviously is not the case. The thinking is, well, they're, you know, if they won't survive winter, they'll just die off, right? But unfortunately, that's not the case, because there are no natural predators. They're an exotic species. They, as we've learned, they produce very well in the wild. We get a slide further on that shows some of the sightings around Carberry area, and they're everywhere out that way. And they destroy crops, they ruin pastures, golf courses, riparian areas, they endanger other species. Apparently they love eating like waterfowl eggs, and they're a risk to people. From our perspective as well, in addition to all those, you know, negative things, they carry disease, which could be introduced to the commercial hog sector. Diseases, reportable diseases, such as ASF or foot and mouth disease. And the majority of Canada's pork is exported, roughly 70% or so. In Manitoba alone, there's 22,000 people employed in the pork sector one way or another. If a wild animal, such as a wild pig, were to introduce ASF to the domestic herds, Canada's borders would shut down. And that would have a significant, probably recession-causing impact. So we got some photos to look at here. Apparently they love corn, apparently they love potatoes. And damage to ecosystems, I mentioned that. And they travel in herds too, or what they call sounders. So these two photos of this SUV here, one of our field technicians got out of their vehicle to take a picture of a few. They basically turned on him. He had to get back to his car very quick. And why are we worried now? This is kind of why I mentioned it. The population, on this little exponential graph here, our experts feel that we're kind of right at the bottom, and before long, growth is going to happen exponentially. So we're focusing on a sighting and trapping and eradication campaign right now. And the main reason for that, in addition to all the damage to the ecosystem they cause and to crops and whatnot, is the risk of African swine fever. I mentioned a little bit about how that would shut borders and whatnot. It would cause the plants in Brandon and Ipoh to close, which would affect employment, but also cause a huge animal welfare issue, because the animals that are in barns right now would have no place to go. So as a result, we've established our Squeal on Pigs campaign. I have some brochures, I have some stickers. I'm gonna leave those with you here. And we're encouraging all Manitobans to, if they see any wild pigs, even if they might know whose they are, to call them in. And we have folks, field technicians, that will come take a look and see if there's any evidence of them, see where they may have come from. Talk to neighbors, look for ways to address the problem. We have worked with other municipalities, where guess, to back up, some folks will, if they see a wild pig, they will try to take care of it themselves. And you know probably what I'm talking about there, the old shoot campaign. Others, particularly ones closer to Winnipeg, they're not comfortable with that. I don't think that's I can't blame them. So they've worked with our field technicians to establish traps and then take care of them in a more coordinated manner. And I think that's essentially the gist of it. These we have a map on the last page or second last slide there showing where the sightings, where there have been sightings in 2022. You'll see most of them are in the Brandon area, in the Spruce Woods area. I've seen a more updated version of this, and they are, whether they were there in the first place or whether there's just more sightings happening now, there have been a number of sightings in Springfield, and I believe a couple here in the northwest corner of your municipality as well. But that's essentially the gist of the presentation I had. I mentioned I have brochures and stickers that I'll leave with you folks. I don't know if you had a brochure rack or whatnot in the lobby there, but if you do, it'd be great if you could.
We have some. We have it also posted, and we'll be happy to put them on.
Excellent.
Turn around. We've got a little one at the back there as well. That we have
in the library. All right, perfect. Okay, that's excellent. Yeah, and I know in your when we exchanged emails, Colleen, you mentioned that there have been no reports like to you
there's
or your
no
office.
Yeah, our administration's received nothing that we. There's been any files. I double checked. Both areas, and we can't see that anything has come to our office.
Perfect. Okay. And with it, yeah. Any questions? I'm here as long as you want me here. If you want me to leave, I'll leave.
I think they were quite bad in this area about 15 years ago.
Sorry. Okay.
Around the Bossier area, but I haven't heard too much of lately.
Yeah, more north of here.
Yeah, north.
You didn't really have wild hogs. I think there was one small farm here.
Yeah, the field tech I was hoping would come with me today, who was unable to, he mentioned he did get a couple of calls coming in from the very northwest corner of your RM, near, is it Seeks Corner? Is that, I don't know if that's the term or not, but anyway, so he did call around, and I think he did come take a look and see if he could see any evidence of them. I don't know if he did or not, but someone let him know about it, so the campaign is working. We are happy to see that, and we'll... I said, I'll leave my material here with you. I'll leave a couple of cards as well. And if you have any questions, later today or tomorrow or going forward, by all means, reach out.
Did you want hunting on them? Or is there kind of any regulations on them?
There's no season on them, so it is open hunting on them. We discourage that actually because what evidence has shown is that these things travel in groups called sounders, and if someone, like, which is probably one or two males and a half dozen or so, if not more, females plus the piglets, is that if people see them and they hunt them, they might get one or two of them, but the rest often just scatter, and as a result, more sounders just get created. It spreads the problem out. What my colleague always refers to.